tomorrow marks the 30th anniversary of an event that changed the world. On November 9th, 1989, the Berlin Wall fell, and thousands of Germans celebrated the end of the barrier that physically and symbolically separated their city. CBS News anchor Dan Rather was there.
It's impossible to completely describe how deeply Germans feel about what's happened here. Now, East German border guards tonight were literally tearing down portions of the wall itself, not the whole wall, but portions of the wall, to make it easier for East Germans to come into West Berlin.
For 28 years, while the wall divided the city, freedom of movement was near impossible. But the tensions that led to its construction go back even further, to 1945, when Berlin was split up at the end of World War II. The Russians took control of the eastern part of the city. The Americans, the British, and the French managed the west. It wasn't long before the relationship between East and West began to sour, and in August 1961, the Soviet-backed government in East Germany started putting up razor wire and concrete barriers through the middle of Berlin. The official reason? To keep Western fascists out of the communist East. This sound is from the United Press International's archives.
The British commandant in Berlin, Major General Delacombe, has had four tanks posted on the sectoral boundary between West Berlin and the Soviet zone. He came to this decision after people's policemen from the Soviet zone had appeared on the boundary at Stacken, part of the city, and begun to lay a barbed wire barricade along a 1.5-mile stretch. The crowd of people who gathered on the Soviet sector side were dispersed by people's police using tear gas. This news broadcast comes to you from the Voice of Germany.
By this point, the Cold War was well underway. And 2 years after the wall was built, President John F. Kennedy went to Berlin to express support for its citizens. He delivered one of the conflict's most memorable speeches.
2,000 years ago, the proudest boast was, Civis Romanus sum. Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is, Ich bin ein Berliner.
I am a Berliner. Still, the conflict would simmer for decades and sometimes flare into violence.
Oh, at Checkpoint Charlie here did happen very much. Here, for example, on the crossing, Burkhard Nearing, the young boy, was 18, was killed because he did try to escape. East Germany border guards, they did shoot in his back.
Alexandra Hildebrand is director of Berlin's Checkpoint Charlie Museum. Checkpoint Charlie was one of the few crossing points between East and West where Soviet and U.S. tanks once stood muzzle to muzzle in a showdown that nearly led to war. I met Hildebrand inside the museum. There's a line of bricks in the floor, which once marked the border of the divided city.
This is a museum which was opened just after the wall was built. The museum did grow up with the history and also wrote the history.
And here we are, just days away from the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. How are you feeling?
This is a very difficult feeling. This is a great feeling to be free. We would say it would be wonderful if we would remember German division, about the world division, not just on the anniversaries, but also every day.
Out the window, we can see a stack of sandbags piled in front of the military checkpoint replica. I asked Hildebrand to describe what was happening in the east before the wall was built.
In the Soviet part of Germany and also of Berlin was dictatorship. It was Soviets who didn't allow the people to think, who didn't allow the people to speak. They didn't allow people to move. So the people did escape. A lot of people. It was engineers. It was the doctors. It was the very important people who was important for the East Germany. So the East Germany, with the help of the Soviet Union, did build the wall.
But they tried to escape, right? They tried to make these daring dashes across the wall using very inventive means. I see in your exhibit here in the museum that there was a balloon that someone tried to use to cross the wall. They would hide in the backs of cars, in the trunks, under the seats, that sort of thing.
Well, it was very dangerous. It's very tragic also. Can you imagine to put your kids in such construction? I am myself the mother of 7 kids. I don't believe that I would be able to put my kids in such construction. But in Berlin was also somebody who did build such balloon. And this escape was unsuccessful. He did fell down and die. But also very many cars in Berlin, which people did try to escape, and also successful. For example, we see here in this room the little BMW Isetta.
A tiny little car.
Yes. Nobody could imagine from the East Germany border guards could imagine that somebody could escape.
Because there's just room for one person at the most there.
Because this is very little. But the escape helper did rebuild it. He did rebuild the place for gasoline, made it smaller. Mm. So somebody could be inside. The 9 cases was successful. The last one was not successful because the woman was too big. And the East Germany border guards could recognize that something wrong because the car was too low.
What kind of sympathy was there from the people in the West to the people in the East who were trapped behind the wall?
It was a big sympathy. Many examples show it. It's the Christmas trees on the border, for example, here at Checkpoint Charlie, just after the wall was built, every year to the Christmas time with a light to show the people in the East that here nobody did forget them. Also, this tradition we continue now also. And in this year also, we will put the lights together with the American Embassy in Germany to show the world that we are one world, and that the American do not forget.
Well, in speaking of the Americans, in the late 1980s, President Ronald Reagan gave a very famous speech not far from here in front of the Brandenburg Gate.
Now the Soviets themselves may, in a limited way, be coming to understand the importance of freedom. We hear much from Moscow about a new policy of reform and openness. Some political prisoners have been released. Certain foreign news broadcasts are no longer being jammed. Some economic enterprises have been permitted to operate with greater freedom from state control. Are these the beginnings of profound changes in the Soviet state, or are they token gestures intended to raise false hopes in the West or to strengthen the Soviet system without changing it?
And what came next will forever be remembered. President Reagan challenged the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to prove that he was serious about reform.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
How impactful was that speech? Did that spell the beginning of the end for the Berlin Wall?
Well, we have in our museums a big exhibition room about the Ronald Reagan, but his first visit in Berlin was not 1987, but 1982, when he was here at Checkpoint Charlie and made just one step over this borderline. This is original borderline.
And we're standing right in front of a line in the floor, essentially.
Yes, it was here down on the street.
These bricks.
Yes, yes. And made just one step over.
Just like we did.
Yes. And
that was symbolic.
It was symbolic. He told all the world, I don't want any Moses division. And it became reality.
President Reagan is still adored in the city. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Berlin today, unveiling a statue of the former president at the U.S. Embassy. But it wasn't just Ronald Reagan. Political pressure had been building in the East for years. It reached a peak in October of 1989 when thousands of protesters risked their lives in the streets of Leipzig, Germany, demanding free elections and free movement. And then, on November 9, 1989, an East German official announced that East Berliners could move unhindered across the border.
Also, Privatreisen nach dem Ausland können ohne Vorliegen
von Voraussetzungen. It was just the wall was down, but it was no more possible to come with a car to come to Checkpoint Charlie. It was everything very, very full. Everybody did cry, did put each other in their arms. You cannot describe it. This is just something very crazy.
What did you do that day?
The same. the same did cry.
A year later, Germany was reunified, and Alexandra Hildebrandt has spent the rest of her life preserving the memory of the wall and the hundreds of people who died trying to cross it. I asked her, 30 years later, what its legacy should be.
The wall did divide not just Germany. The wall did divide all the world. Just the message, the freedom is very expensive. Everybody is responsible to keep it and to struggle to keep it. And without the past, we have no future.